Blog Talk Radio.
Promotes health awareness through our weekly discussion. Healthy 365 does not provide medical advice. Please consult your health provider for all your medical concerns and needs. Good evening, everyone. My name is Nicole, and I am your host tonight for tonight's edition of Healthy 365. I appreciate everybody's patience with me. I wasn't able to do my show live on Sunday. And so I appreciate you for tuning in this evening, which is Wednesday, December the 6th. It's a little chilly here in the Tennessee Valley. I know that there is a bit of a Arctic or cold front, whatever they call it, across this region, including Ohio and some of the Midwest areas. Tonight, we will be talking about what's in our water. And kind of what inspired me to explore this topic was because of the Flint, Michigan water crisis. And some of you may know, I was actually born in the state of Michigan. And some of my favorite people are actually from Michigan. Hello, Michigan gave everybody Motown. So I think it's one of the best states there are. And I was thinking back to just looking at some of the things I've seen on TV and some of the like reality shows and people doing all types of fundraising efforts to raise awareness to the terrible crisis that's still going on. And, you know, our government has not really resolved that issue. And so there are thousands and thousands of families and children that will have irreversible health damage as a result of this crisis that was totally preventable. I mean, this was something that they knew about and they failed to act and rectify the situation. So now there are thousands of children out there that will have damages to their health. So you see kids with all types of learning disabilities and brain damage and other things. And so it just got me to thinking, especially during the campaign, you know, all the dirt comes out with all of the shady politicians. No pun intended. So you hear them, you know, kind of bragging and going back and forth and kind of pointing the finger and, you know, all saying this person, you know, has this special interest group in their pocket and this person and that. And so it came out, lots of stories came out about other states like Texas and Mississippi and some other places where their water is unsafe too. So it got me thinking, well, hell, you know, as a person, as a citizen of this country, you know, who is really looking out for us and how did something like this happen? And so I want to talk a little bit about some of the common toxins in our water supply and some of the ways they can impact your health. Okay, so I found through my research that there are about 12 common toxins in our water supply. And our water supply, of course, is the water that we use that's filtered and supposed to be safe through our homes. And our water supply is actually supposed to be regulated by the government. And the group that kind of sets the standards and regulates our water in the U.S. is the EPA, or Environmental Protection Agency. And they set these guidelines for what makes our water deemed safe to consume or to bathe with and other things. So I found it very interesting that with them kind of, you know, the whole process to make our water safe actually involved some chemicals and some toxins that are really, really bad for us. And so I wanted to start off with the most common one. And the first one is fluoride. Now, fluoride is a substance that has been added to our drinking water since the 1940s. And one of the reasons it was added is it was known to improve tooth decay in the United States. So they added this fluoride to our water system. But what they don't tell you is that fluoride is a toxin. And as a matter of fact, it's a neurotoxin. And it also is an endocrine disruptor. And we've talked about the endocrine system on the show. It is known to harm the thyroid gland and cause the pineal gland to calcify. I found in my research that some countries have already banned this practice. They call this fluoridation of water. And so in the United States, we consume fluoridated water. And so many countries have banned this practice, and even some cities in the United States have kind of come on board to say, you know, the so-called benefits of fluoride in your water, you know, they don't outweigh the damage that this can cause. 70% of our water supply actually is fluoridated. And so some of the ways that fluoride can damage your system is it can damage your thyroid. It's said that a study taken in England showed that there was a 30% in increased rates of a condition called underactive thyroid condition. Now, I'm a nurse by profession, and I talk to hundreds of patients on a regular basis when I was working in an acute care setting, so like the hospital or the skilled nursing home. I took care of hundreds of patients. And one of the commonly prescribed medications is medications for underactive thyroid. It's almost like when you get older, an underactive thyroid is like a rite of passage. So this had me thinking, okay, if there are 30% of an increase in the rate of underactive thyroids, I wonder what it is in the United States, probably double that or something, right? Because it's like everybody over a certain age, men and women, have to take a medication because their thyroid is sluggish or underactive. Reports also suggest that just 2 to 5 milligrams of fluoride over the course of a few months can reduce the thyroid function. So there's scientific evidence out there that having fluoride or being exposed to fluoride, and we get that through our water sources, can actually affect our thyroid. So that's just horrible. Here's just another example of how, for whatever reason, there are things that are done or decisions that are made by our government, supposedly for our benefit, and then as a result, instead of figuring out a better way to do things or a way to protect us from unnecessary hazards, for whatever reason that they choose to do this, whether it be special interest or, you know, I don't know the best way to put this, the politically correct way to put this, but I'll just say for special interest or for greed or for whatever the motivations are, they put a Band-Aid on things, I think, a lot of times. So it's like, okay, we're going to expose you to fluoride, so when you develop complications, we'll just prescribe you something for that. Because, of course, you know, if they prescribe you something, that then keeps a lot of happy people at the big pharmaceutical companies. Also, it says that fluoridated water has been linked to ADHD. How many of you out there know someone, an adult or a child, that has the condition ADHD, that's attention deficit hyper disorder? There has been a 50% increase in ADHD diagnosis in the past 10 years in the United States alone. Studies have found that states with fluoridated water had a higher incidence of ADHD. And this study was conducted over a 6-year period. So one of the things that I want to do with this show is basically make people aware about things and give you the tools that you need to make an informed decision about your health. But more than anything, I just really, really want people to be more conscious and more aware about things so that you can make empowered decisions. And so, how can I say this politically correct again? I want you guys to be, there's this whole movement for people to be conscious and to be woke, you know, that's another term for it, to be enlightened, however you want to word it. I want everyone to take more initiative, I guess, and don't necessarily think that things are, you hear a lot of things that are just kind of, you know, kind of just shut down. Because as we have evolved, I mean, look at this podcast with this network, this is simply done over the internet. You know, the government can't regulate it. They can't shut it down. And so a lot of times, in my opinion, when the truth comes out, they try to like just get it to go away by saying everybody is a conspiracy theorist or everybody's a whack job or everybody's making things up. But it's not. I really think that this is an age right now where people all over the world can educate themselves, can be more aware, and just, you know, for lack of a better word, stop sleeping, people. I mean, to me, the time is now to just really, really, really be aware of what's going on. And just maybe some of these theories, we'll call them, have some merit. I mean, if all the evidence lines up that, you know, people are dropping the ball with regulating things, water is a natural right, and it's regulated by our governments, supposedly for our benefit. But if people aren't doing their jobs, and our children, like for me, I have two children. I didn't bring two children into this world to have my government sleep at their fucking job and poison them and cause them things. And then as a parent, I feel helpless and my kid develops conditions and I feel helpless. Or a lot of times they blame me. They tell me, you know, I'm giving my kid too much sugar, or you feel like there's something wrong with you. It's genetics. It's something that runs in your family. Well, I'm here to tell you, the more that I look into this stuff, the more that I'm doing the research, I'm finding that that's a crock of shit, people. It's an absolute crock of shit. You are being blamed or left to feel responsible for things that are beyond your control. And many of these things are environmental, and many of these things are introduced to you by your own government, just for just pure, just not regulating things the right way. And even if you don't regulate things the right way, I have a right to know. And a lot of times, you know, I'll have discussion with friends or family and I'll just wonder, I'll just say, do you ever feel like, you know, they say some of the theories out there, they call a lot of our reality the Matrix. And, you know, we laugh, you know, that was like a blockbuster trilogy, right? And we all laugh. But when you think about it, there may be some truth to that, for the simple fact that I swear it's like the more the knowledge is out there sometimes, the more sleep people are. It's like people are so distracted with shitty reality TVs, shows. I mean, no disrespect. Yes, it's entertaining, but at the same time, it's not life. It's dumb as hell, okay? It's like it's mindless entertainment. There's really nothing interesting about these people. There's really nothing really talented about these people a lot of times. And when in doubt, they just get catty. They get snotty. They use sex. They use violence. They just use utter stupidity. And that takes people's minds off of things. And instead of them focusing on things like reading a book or doing research or being more active, we just sit around and we watch television. But, you know, that's one of the things that makes these podcasts and the internet and the digital age and the advancements with technology just so amazing, is because there's really no excuse. There's really no excuse not to read. There's really no excuse not to educate yourself. There's really no excuse not to be a part of forums. There's really no excuse not to get up off your ass and be more active. It's just really no excuse for it at this point, because the information is there. And I think they know that most people don't read. They just want to be entertained. Everybody wants to escape. It's like this big movement for escapism. And so all I can stress is, for the sake of all that's just saying, people, just can't you just see behind a lot of this bullshit? Just like wake up. I mean, they even put subliminal messages in music now because they know people are so asleep. People don't even catch the shit. I mean, they mock us, for Christ's sake, because they just think we're that dumb. I mean, it's just really sad. I just look around and it's just like sometimes I don't even have people to have an intelligent conversation with, because they just don't get it. It just goes above their head. Or it's too painful. They can't handle it. It's like you tell them something, they can't have a conversation because they just can't handle the truth. They literally can't. They're like, their brain is going to explode. Like they can't, oh my gosh, I can't deal with this with all the different pressures in my life. I have to pay bills. I have to do this. I can't deal with this right now. I need to just not deal with this. Let me go get high or drink or watch television because I can't deal, you know? So I'm just really hoping through forums like this that we as a nation, just take control of your destiny. Just take control of your life. The information is out there. And shout out to the amazing Dick Gregory. I mean, I had so much respect for him. He had been shouting to the community, and this is the community of all, I like to call it, melanated people, for years. He devoted his life. He was a true activist to awareness for people, of all people, of all Americans, just to know what the hell is really going on in our world, you know, what's really happening behind the scenes, you know. And we lost him a couple of months ago, and, you know, the world just suddenly it got a little bit quieter and a little bit sadder. But, you know, I know there are so many wonderful people that he inspired, and his legacy lives on. And I'm hoping that, you know, I can do my part for awareness for the community, for the world, because it's just, I mean, the time is now. You know, we owe it to our future generations to really do better. We really do. And we can start by having respect for each other and having respect for this earth. You know, I just think just a lack of respect for mankind, period, for just humankind. You know, let's just, you know, just do better, you know. So I left off with the fluoridated water is linked to ADHD. I also found it interesting that fluoride can actually lower IQ. Okay, so it can actually lead to brain damage and lower the IQ in children. Because it's a neurotoxin, so it actually can damage the brain, and the damage to the brain is the equivalent of a traumatic brain injury. That's how bad it is. Also, fluoridated water can cause something called fluorosis, and too much fluoride, although they say they added it to the water to improve and decrease the rate of decay in people's teeth, you know, it can actually, too much of it can affect the teeth and the bones. The World Health Organization says that fluoride levels above 1.5 milligrams per liter can actually cause pitting. Some of you have seen this probably, pitting of the teeth enamel, and also deposit in the bones, okay? Levels of about 10 milligrams per liter can actually cause a condition called skeletal fluorosis. And you may be wondering, what is skeletal fluorosis? Where it is a bone disease caused by excessive accumulation of fluoride in the bones. In advanced cases, the condition can cause painful damage to bones and joints. In the U.S., we are often exposed to levels of fluoride in the ranges of 2 to 5 milligrams. So we're actually above the level that caused the pitting in the tooth enamel and deposits in the bones. So with that information that I just shared with you, think about what I just said to you. I'm letting you know that we are often exposed in our water source to 2 to 5 milligrams of fluoride. So I'm giving you that piece of knowledge so that you understand how serious this is. And I'm only on one toxin, people. I'm only on one. I'm on the first one. I'm on fluoride, okay? The country of India, they feel so strongly about how toxic fluoride is that they are actively working on removing fluoride from their water source. India, okay, is doing more than we are in the U.S. to remove fluoride in our water system. Let that sink in. Fluoridated water can damage the pineal gland. Now, again, I mentioned Dick Gregory. We probably, you know, once I kind of let you guys get to know me a little more, we'll probably go deep into my brain and kind of how I think and some of the things I'm really into and some of the things that I'm reading. I'm a bit of a geek, you know. I read lots of stuff all the time. I have a chosen select few of friends that I like to talk with, and we have intellectual debates and stuff because I get really passionate and not everybody can handle my passion. Some people are threatened by it, my strong personality. But we'll talk more in the future about some of the things that I've learned about the pineal gland, especially for melanated people. High levels of fluoride can actually build up in the pineal gland in the body. And the pineal gland is a gland located in the brain, and it's responsible for the production and synthesis of melatonin, okay? Melatonin controls, one of the things it controls in girls is puberty. Now check this shit out. There are some studies that suggest the buildup of fluoride in the pineal gland could be a factor in early onset of puberty. Now again, okay, let that shit sink in. Now, how many of you know, or could be the parent of a child or know a child who for no reason at all is going through early puberty? We're wondering why children are over-sexualized and kids are developing things and they're having all types of sexual development of organs. I'm telling you that some of this shit, in my opinion, is not an accident. I'm just saying. Some of it is just not an accident. Some of the things that are being done to the public. Okay? One of the other toxins that can be found in water is chlorine. Now, many of you know about chlorine. You like to swim and other things. Sometimes you can even smell it. I mean, I have lived in places. I move quite a bit. I've lived in lots of different places. And no, I'm not in the military. I guess my mom is more of a bohemian, so we moved a lot. So chlorine is added to the water supply because it is used as a disinfectant. So it is a part of the purification technique used to make our water safe. It impedes the growth of bacteria. But did you know that this chemical is reactive, meaning that it bonds with water? I want you all to think back to when you had your first introduction to science. Think back, I know it's for some of you, it's so long ago. And when you think about the periodic table and what different elements are made of things. So it's a reactive chemical, okay? So it actually bonds. And we know that water's element on the period on the periodic table is H2O, okay? So it actually bonds to that. It bonds to water, okay? This includes, and we talked about your gut, right? We talked about the gut a couple of weeks ago. This actually bonds to the water in your gut. I'll let that sink in, okay? We're tying a lot of the things we've talked about to this topic, okay? This can produce poisonous hydrochloric acid, okay? Long-term effects of exposure to chlorine can include memory loss and impaired balance. Chlorine is toxic enough that it's classified as a chemical weapon. Do you hear me? They're using a chemical that can be classified as a chemical weapon in your water, okay? It's known as a choking agent. That's how it's used for chemical warfare. Inhalation of chlorine gas can cause difficulty breathing, chest pains, cough, eye irritation, increased heartbeat, rapid breathing, and death. One of the ways that you can reduce your exposure to chlorine and some of the other chemicals is by using a water purification system for your home. And what this does is it helps reduce toxins before the water actually comes out of the faucet. So it basically filters as much of that stuff out. What kind of thing on the market? I was just talking to a patient about it recently, some kind of way. I don't know how this, that's kind of how I came up with the show topic as well. He was showing some signs and some things that my family and I have experienced. And I thought to myself, how, when's the last time we experienced some symptoms like that? I called him up and for no reason at all, he was like, you know, Nicole, I'm itching. And I said, okay, you know, that can be common, you know, if you're on dialysis because of the toxins in your system. But I said, tell me a little bit more. And then he's like, I have a rash on my back, and I'm getting these moles. And I thought, we're getting the same thing. And we moved to a new area. And when my family had this episode before, it was actually my then husband at the time, he was having like itching and dry skin and he was uncomfortable. And he's like, you know, Nicole, I think it's because it's this damn water, you know, it's hard. You know, a lot of times people, you know, describe the water as being hard. You know, it's just like a general term that like maybe just black people do that. And he's like, you know, the water is hard, I think. So I'm like, okay. So, you know, you kind of just laughed it off, laugh at me because you're like, okay, you know, all right, it's hard. All right, get over it. So, but it persisted. And then at the time, my daughter wasn't quite two yet. And then she was itching and she was having like eczema and all these different things. And so I said, shit, okay, what should we do? So I'm thinking, well, I can't go around buying those Brita water filters for everything. So I think I'd seen an advertisement or I just did some research and I said, okay, let me call like a water company that deals with purification and stuff. So I actually, you know, not to put on any props, I'm not going to say their name. The owner of this radio station will kill me for free advertising. But if they want to give us an endorsement, you know, we can definitely do that. But there's a known water provider out there. And the guy came out and tested our water and said, oh, you have this is a full report. This is all the shit you have in your water. Okay. So they actually let us, because we didn't own this home, they let us lease a water purification system. It was actually connected to the water softener, and we were able to lease that. You pay like some startup fees, and boop, symptoms went away, because all of our water was getting purified and going through this water softener before it hit us. The water wasn't as hard, so we didn't have those hard water stains. Nobody was itching anymore. Nobody had that excess dry skin. So if you are having some strange symptoms, and they're unexplained, you know, hell, you know, a lot of times providers don't have the answers to things, so there's kind of like a process of elimination, check your water is all I can tell you. If the Flint crisis has told us anything, people, check your damn water, for real, check it. I move a lot, so I notice different things, and so for some reason it just stuck out, because we have certain conditions that, you know, run in our family, and so certain things will exacerbate certain symptoms and certain conditions, such as eczema and stuff like that. So definitely everybody check your water, and you can look for you can Google who can test my water or where can I lease a water filtration system, and there's a really big known company that's really good with that, and it's affordable. Okay. I am going to pay some bills by taking a quick break with our sponsors. This show is sponsored by Digital Guard. And so let's take a quick break and we'll be right back to kind of continue our discussion. Let's face it, we all have busy lives, and our first priority is protecting our home and the ones we love. Whether you are traveling or simply getting packages delivered during this busy holiday season, why not be proactive and protect your home or business today with a Digital Guard Wireless HD home camera system with monitoring? With many purchase options available to you and prices starting as low as $684.63, it's now more affordable than ever to get started with your very own home monitoring system today. Did I mention we offer a no credit check lease option for just $275 down and 14 monthly payments of just $50? Or how about creating a neighborhood video watch alliance for your community for an annual fee of just $14.99? You can't put a price on peace of mind. Don't wait. Call Digital Guard today at 888-640-5777, option 2. Mention promo code Nicole to lock in your savings. Remember, what you can't see will hurt you. And on behalf of Healthy 365, I want to wish you and your family a safe and happy holiday season. This show is sponsored by Digital Guard Item of the Week. Save 15% today. This week's item is the Mace Pepper Gun. It's about 6 inches in length. Stream range is up to 20 feet. It's bright LED light. Okay, wait. Let me start over, because first of all, I feel a little dirty. Okay, this show is sponsored by Digital Guard Item of the Week. You can save 15% today. This week's item is the Mace Pepper Gun. It's about 6 inches in length. The stream range is up to 20 feet. It has a bright LED light and it's refillable. That sounds so naughty. The Mace Pepper Gun is the most accurate non-lethal self-defense spray available. With its advanced With its advanced delivery system, the Mace Pepper Gun delivers a targeted stream of OC pepper spray up to 20 feet and a constant stream from any angle. Good for anyone's self-defense, ladies. To purchase, go to www.preventhomecrimes.com. Save 15% today by entering the following promo code at the checkout, Healthy365. Happy shopping, people. Okay, welcome back. I'm your host, Nicole Lee, and tonight we are talking about what's in our water. And I was inspired by this, by my personal experiences with water and patients, and of course, the Flint crisis. We were talking about chlorine. There's like 12 known toxins in the watering system, and we talked about two, fluoride and chlorine. The next one is one for lead. But before we proceed to that, in addition to getting the home purification system to avoid chlorine and other things, another thing that's recommended is for you to only drink distilled water. And I'm going to talk to my aunt. I have a bone to pick with her. She's a Virgo like me. She's badass and she is a veteran. Shout out to my auntie Linda. I love you with your Virgo ass. I love you. But she always tells me to do shit. She's really health conscious. As a survivor of cancer, she kicks ass and she always tells me to do things, but she never explains it to me. She's a Virgo, so she just said, just do what the hell I tell you to do. You know, she doesn't really give you reasons for it. But anyway, I know now, auntie, I love you. So only drink distilled water. And basically how they make distilled water, because I know I was always wondering, you know, it doesn't taste as good. It doesn't taste all bubbly like the other stuff. Well, how they make it is they boil it, and then it's converted to steam, and then the steam flows through these cooling tubes and condenses back to pure water, okay? Another thing you can do is avoid the home cleaning products that contain chlorine. So all that shit that smells really bad, and my grandma, may she rest in peace, Mama Anita, always told us to not do that strong chemical stuff. I mean, get headaches and the bleach smell. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's just, it's, I hate to be like that, people, but if it's just like it's just a black thing or something, like it's like households just smell of bleach, you know, like your mom or grandma when they're cleaning. Shit just smells really strong, like bleach. And for some reason, the way I grew up, if it didn't smell like bleach or your eyes weren't watering sometimes, it's like that shit wasn't clean, according to my mom. So I don't know why we take comfort in like strong chemicals sometimes in the black household. But knock that shit off. It's bad for your health. So there's some natural things you can do. There's some natural home remedies and some other things. And I will do my blog this week. I've been a little lazy and sleeping on that, but I will do that today. And I'll include some natural things that you can use to clean with and some other things. Okay, so let's talk about the other toxin, lead. Now, lead was the culprit in the Flint, Michigan crisis. And I love how we're calling the government's negligence a fucking crisis. Pardon my French. Yeah, crisis my ass. It's the main toxic causing the problems in Flint, Michigan. And usually, the culprit is corroded pipes. And it's said that they are releasing up to 10 times the allowable amount of lead into the water. So it was 10 times the allowable amount, okay, that the EPA allows is what was happening in Flint. Lead is toxic to almost every organ in the body, and children are affected the worst. Now, again, people, put on your thinking caps. Remember what I was saying. I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist, not trying to persuade you one way or the other, but who lives in Flint, Michigan? Who lives there, people? Poor people of color. Poor people, okay? Poor people. And it says that it affects children the worst. So let's just think about this for a second. Do you think that shit is an accident? Just to say, if someone were to want to commit a silent genocide of a specific type of people or a specific class of people, okay, to put it on the broader scale, just dispose of them slowly over time or manipulate them, gain something from the manipulation of these people. How might they do that? Just think about methods of control or tactical warfare. What might they do? Okay, how do you stop people? How do you commit a genocide or wipe out a race of people or class of people? Wouldn't you do something to their offspring? Because they're the future, right? Just think about that, okay? So it affects children the worst, okay? The really bad thing about it is that it accumulates in the body, and it does not excrete from your body. It actually sits there and lays dormant, people. It can be a constant source of something known as free radicals. And we will explore in the future cancer, one day in the future. But you may have heard that term free radicals because that's the shit that contributes and causes cancer. Again, I'm going to let that sink in, okay? The effects are often irreversible. It can increase someone's blood pressure, impact their intelligence, and suppress a person's immune system. I'm going to read that to you one more time. The effects of lead are often irreversible. That means you can't undo it, okay? It can increase blood pressure. Sound familiar in all of the communities of people of color? I'm talking to you, African Americans, whatever we're calling ourselves lately, all of our Hispanics, our Asian community, our boroughs and our neighborhoods, of poor Caucasian Americans. I'm talking to you, okay? It causes high blood pressure. It impacts intelligence, and it suppresses the immune system. What do you see in the poor neighborhoods and the ghettos throughout the United States? What kind of shit do you see in those neighborhoods? Children with unexplained learning disabilities, children with unexplained problems with their ability to function cognitively, people plagued by blood pressure, people with immune system disorders, the inability, their immune system can't do things like fight out contracted infections like HIV, hepatitis C, different types of cancer. Do you guys get where I'm saying, where I'm going with this? In children, it can cause seizures, coma, and death. The most common source of exposure for children, this is what we were all led to believe, of course, is lead-based paint. Again, some shit available that's just not healthy for people. Lead-based paint. Exposure can cause developmental issues, stunted growth, deafness, behavioral problems, learning disabilities, and brain damage. If ingested during pregnancy, it can cause premature death. Lead exposure has been linked to the following conditions. Listen closely. Autism, prostate cancer, and reproductive problems in men and women. Now, again, I'm going to say that to you again, because, again, I want you to think broader than the information that I'm putting down. I want you to think wider and broader than that. Why is this being allowed to happen, people? Why? You think this shit is happening where Donald Trump and his fucking family lives? You think it's happening there? You think this shit is happening where the rich people have their kids? You think this kind of shit is happening in their water supply? You think this shit is happening in their food supply? Well, it's not. But it's happening where we live. It's happening, and we are the backbone of this nation. We, the people, are what make this nation great. And I want us to do better and to be aware of what the hell is going on with us. And we got to do more than talk. We don't need anybody making bullshit proclamations. I don't need to sign a fucking petition. I don't need to align myself with some bullshit political force. We, the people, need to do something about this. We need to take action. We need to take back our communities. We need to take care of each other. But it first starts by being aware of what's going on. It first starts about us having an open dialogue with each other and getting serious about shit and stop wanting to escape every damn thing. We gotta do better, everybody. We've got to. We used to take care of each other. Well, we used to look out for each other. We gotta do better, you guys. Again, some of the conditions that it causes. Listen to me real clearly. Autism, prostate cancer, and reproductive problems in men and women. Do you think it's an accident that this shit causes reproductive problems? Do you guys know what that means? It means it may be the source of why some people can't have children. If you can't procreate, then you can't populate this world anymore. And who would benefit from that? Who would benefit from that? Who benefits from all of this twisted shit? It can also damage the cardiovascular and the kidneys. Lead in water remains a problem in some areas, despite, check this out, because you know that's what our government does. It passes laws, right? The Safe Drinking Water Act, Lead and Copper Rule. And check out when this law was passed, 1991. I have a nephew who was born in 1990. You're telling me that they didn't pass an act to keep this shit out of our water until 1991? Did any of you know that? Did anybody know that? 1991 is when they passed a Lead and Copper Rule Act. They're pretending they didn't know that this shit was unsafe until then. And there's still, just like we talked about things in food and other things, there's still legal amounts of toxins that are allowable. And this is by our government that loves us. They're looking out for us, okay? Since the 1970s, it says that the concentrations of lead in the air, water, and soil have begun to decline. Well, not now, because we got a crisis going on, don't we? We've got kids with irreversible brain damage that are just left to their own devices, families that still lack clean water, and communities that were just dissolved. And amazingly enough, it managed to run a lot of people out of Michigan. Kind of makes you wonder what the hell they want in Michigan. Is there something valuable or something they want there? You never know. Another toxin that's found in our water is mercury. Now, mercury, you probably have heard of it. It is commonly found in things like thermometers. That's how you take your temperature or tell what temperature it is. Barometers and other scientific equipment. The unique thing about mercury is that it can enter the body through inhalation, so you can breathe it in. Ingestion, you can enter it, you know, in your mouth, okay, orally, or skin absorption. Pollution in our environment has resulted in mercury even being found in our seafood. So to this day, mercury, they said, is still used in something called amalgam fillings. All of you know about those ugly silver-looking fillings, and it's like, oh, they look so ugly. You can tell the people that didn't take good care of their teeth, they have these silver fillings in their teeth. Well, that shit's mercury, and it's bad for you. So if you've heard, I know a lot of times we'll say, I've seen it, and I've even been guilty of it too, where, you know, I don't know, for some reason, some of us just, I think it's because we don't have the knowledge out there, but now we do, okay? So we're not going to really worry about what we used to do. But I have been guilty of this in the past myself, where you go to a dentist and they said, okay, your child needs a filling, or you, I think my son needed a filling once before, or I needed a filling. I didn't know any better. So I'm like, okay, well, for myself anyway, I'm like, well, just use the what's paid for by the insurance. Of course, the insurance pays for the bad shift. They pay for the mercury. Right? That's still legally allowed for your insurance to only cover the mercury fillings. And then they came up with these ones that are made, they look more like your enamel. They're not made from toxic surfaces, but they're not covered, or they're only covered by a small percentage. So what do you do when you're living paycheck to paycheck, or you're what they're calling now working class poor? You're going to go with the cheaper fillings that you can afford, because you don't want your teeth to sustain any more damage. So you're going to just is putting a Band-Aid on it, right? Well, that shit's unhealthy for you. So any of you, what's recommended so that you're not unnecessarily exposed to mercury in your body, the fillings, if you have those silver fillings in your mouth, there could be a source of mercury. And it's recommended that you remove those. Even if it's a process where you just do one tooth once every 3 months, once a year, however you need to do it, make a commitment to get it out of your mouth and replace it with a non-toxic substance. Plus, it looks better anyway. Okay? All right. Exposure to mercury can cause serious side effects to the nervous system, such as psychotic reactions, hallucinations, suicidal tendencies, and delirium. You can even experience violent muscular spasms and death. It also causes brain damage, blindness, nerve damage, cognitive disability, impairment of motor functions, headaches, weakness, muscle atrophy. That's where your muscle kind of just like dries up. It wastes away, shrinks, tremors, where you have involuntary shaking, mood swings, memory loss, and skin rashes. When mercury enters the body, it is stored in the kidneys, the spleen, the brain, the liver, the bones, and fatty tissues. Now, I'll include this in my blog. Cilantro is a natural herb that is thought to facilitate cleansing of toxic metals from the body, including mercury. Okay, so that's an excuse for you to eat some salsa. I'm going to take a quick break. Let me let you listen to this song, and then we'll be back and we'll talk a little bit more about the toxins in our water. This is so much information, you guys. I might actually need to do like two parts of this, but I'm going to try to wrap it up. I've been ranting a little bit, so I need to kind of control that. All right, I'll be right back, Shirley. Everybody, to tonight's edition of Healthy 365, and we've been talking about what sources of toxins are found in our water supply, inspired by the crisis, the Flint, Michigan crisis that is still unresolved and still going on. I also included in my blog, you guys, ways that you can actually help that effort in Flint, Michigan. They really do need our help. We all need to take care of each other, so I will include ways that we can help those impacted by this horrible crisis. In Flint, Michigan. Some other toxins that are found in our water, we left off with lead, which is the toxin that is causing all of the problems in Flint. But other toxins that are found in our water supply would be PCBs. These are known as polychlorinated biphenyls. They're chemicals used for industrial purposes, such as insulation, found in machinery, oil, paints, adhesives, electronics, and fluorescent lights. PCBs were actually banned in 1979, but they're still present in landfills and pose a danger to the environment. The problem with PCBs is that they break down slowly and they infiltrate the environment. Traces of PCBs have been found in snow and seawater, thousands of miles from where they were produced. Animal tests have found PCBs to cause cancer and negatively affect the immune, reproductive, nervous, and endocrine system. So in animals, everybody, this is impacting their immune system, their reproductive system, their nervous system, and their endocrine system. Okay? Arsenic some of you, if you like the crime shows like I do, I like those crime shows on Investigation Discovery. I'm there. How many times have you heard about someone poisoning somebody with arsenic? Well, surprise, arsenic is in our water supply. Despite it being poisonous, it's actually used in many different industrial processes. Environmental contamination may result from improper waste disposal or from poorly planned wells that hit a natural source. Arsenic poison can cause the following symptoms: vomiting, abdominal pain, diarrhea, and even death. Long-term exposure can lead to skin cancer, lung cancer, and bladder cancer. In the country of Taiwan, for example, arsenic can actually cause a condition called Blackfoot disease, and this is a type of gangrene that causes blood vessels to die and rot. I wonder if that just happens in Taiwan. Wink, wink. Okay. All right. Perchlorate. It is a key ingredient in rocket fuel and explosives. And wouldn't you have it, folks, I live in Huntsville, Alabama, and what are we known as? The Rocket City. I wonder if perchlorate is in our water source. Makes you think. Perchlorates dissolve easily and seep into groundwater from military and industrial sites. It is believed that perchlorates have contaminated much of the Colorado River. The problem is severe, people. Almost all humans will test positive for perchlorates, which attack the thyroid. Once again, here is a toxin that is attacking the thyroid in humans. Okay. Another common toxin found in water is dioxins. Dioxins are released during combustion, such as when hazardous waste is burned or during a forest fire. Right now we have California having all these wildfires that are, you know, that are outbreaking. It's also found in cigarette smoke and burning oil and coal. Remember, coal used to be a big industry in this country, okay? Dioxins, they settle in the environment and they destroy water sources. Short-term exposure can cause lesions and respiratory problems. Long-term exposure can affect the immune, nervous, endocrine, and reproductive systems. The International Agency for Research on Cancer has declared dioxins as carcinogenic. That means they cause cancer. In developing fetuses, so this is the developing unborn child, the fetus, dioxin poisoning can cause birth defects or stillbirth. Okay? Some other toxins are known as DDT. That's short for dichlorodiphenyltrichlorethane. DDT was used as an insecticide in the 1940s, and it was used to combat insect-borne illnesses like malaria and typhus. It had widespread use as an agricultural insecticide. Again, the system shit sprayed on the crops, right? Probably, and also in the environment to keep down the malaria, you know, and typhus are caused by insects, right? Until it was banned in the United States in 1972 due to environmental concerns. Okay, so they used this in our environment for 32 years before anybody figured out that it's bad for the health of humans and wildlife. It remains in use in other parts of the world and is still a major health concern for all of us. It is said that DDT molecules are persistent and can travel vast distances in the atmosphere. That means their impact is wide-ranging, everybody. Animal testing has found DDT causes reproductive problems and liver damage. The International Agency for Research on Cancer has declared DDT as a cancer risk. Okay. Another toxin found in our water is HCB. Until 1965, HCB, or hexachlorobenzene, was used as a pesticide. Production has been banned, but it is still formed as a byproduct from the production of other chemicals. A large dose can cause death. Smaller doses can lead to liver disease and skin lesions. The EPA has classified HCB as a probable cancer source. Notice how they're using all these cute little words, cancer risk, probable. Way to go, EPA. In Anatolia, Turkey, in the late 1950s, they said over 4,500 people suffered HCB poisoning as a result of a tainted grain. A tainted grain, okay? Over 500 people died. This includes children. 30 years later, follow-up studies were conducted, and they found that the breast milk of women in this town still contained up to 150 times the amount of HCB allowed in cow's milk. Another toxin in our water is something called Dacthal. Dacthal is an herbicide that contaminates soil and water sources. Unlike HBA and DDT, Dacthal is still used today. Animal tests have found Dacthal changes the adrenal glands, kidneys, liver, thyroid, and spleen. And I want to repeat to you that Dacthal is an herbicide that is still used today. Okay? Another toxin is known as MTBE, and that is methyl tertiary butyl ether. It is a gasoline additive that can render large quantities of groundwater completely undrinkable. I'll repeat that. It is a gasoline additive that can render large quantities of groundwater completely undrinkable. In 1996, it says, the city of Santa Monica, California, found this out when the city had to shut down 50% of its water supply and pay for replacement water. So they obviously had a spill. The health effects of MTBE are not understood. Animal tests have linked it to kidney damage, seizures, and problems with fetal development. Okay, here are some common misconceptions. One of which, and this is one that I was taught by women in my family, that you can remove toxins from water by boiling them. Boiling water kills harmful organisms, everybody, but it does nothing to remove toxic chemicals, compounds, salts, and metals, okay? This list that we reviewed today is not a complete list of the toxins that may be in your drinking water. The way that you can keep informed of the water quality issues in your area is by your local regulating body, and I'll leave information for that in my blog. It is always recommended that you invest in a quality water filter, like I talked about. And again, I'm not going to name the provider because they're not a paid sponsor of our program. But there are big places out there that have water filtration systems. It is also recommended that you drink glass or bottled distilled water, like we talked about. Okay. All right. Now, I found this very interesting. Other places that have problems with their water source, okay, so it's not just a Flint, Michigan issue, are some major cities like Baltimore, Maryland is one, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Chicago, Illinois, Boston, Massachusetts, sometimes I pronounce things funny, and Trenton, New Jersey. It was said in my research, they said that Philadelphia, Pennsylvania is accused of having the worst water testing in the United States. That is horrible. aren't they like the city of brotherly love? Am I getting that right? I'm probably misstating something, but that's really sad. Some of the cities that had really bad testing results, there was a private study conducted by a group called the Environmental Working Groups, and this was based out of Washington, D.C., and the study took place over 5 years. It was from the years 2004 to 2009, and the following cities had the worst water sources. So they had their water supplies were horrible. Jacksonville, Florida, San Diego, California, North Las Vegas, Nevada, Omaha, Nebraska, Houston, Texas, Reno, Nevada, Riverside County, California, Las Vegas, Nevada, Riverside, California, so the actual city of Riverside, and Pensacola, Florida. Some other honorable mentions were cities in other states that just simply provided insufficient data to even be studied. And some of these states were Tennessee, Kansas, Mississippi, and Georgia. So they didn't even provide sufficient data for their cities to be studied. What a bunch of assholes. Some major cities that had, that I guess, oh wow, look, check this out. Some major cities that just failed to provide any info were major cities like Detroit, womp womp, what a surprise there, Salt Lake City, and Washington, D.C. So the very place where the study was based out of, they didn't even submit any info. Really? That should be illegal. A lot of stuff should be illegal. Should just not be right. So, like I said, the EPA actually regulates our water. Some of the ways that you can test your water for yourself, you can actually buy a test kit from your local home center or online, and you can test it for reactants and other chemicals. Like I said, you can also, like for example, I'm looking here, and some of the big online retailers, wink, wink, you know who I'm talking about, they have a smile on their box. They have an affordable test. Some of your big supermarket, you know, super centers, wink, wink, have them. But you can also, you know, go through like a company and get them to test your water. I know, for example, with the patient that I was speaking with in North Carolina, he actually was able to actually found an article for the area that he lived in online. It was like through their health department. And he could actually have his well water tested and based in his county, they could actually have somebody come out, like a state official, through his health department to test his well, because our primary sources of water are from, you know, the underground springs from those sources. And unfortunately, they're susceptible through the soil, okay? You know, through our environment, they are susceptible to toxins, okay? And so he actually, I gave him the information that he needed to be able to have his water tested, because I truly suspect they had run a whole battery of tests. I truly suspect that the water was the cause of his symptoms. And he was having the skin tags and like a rash, and the rash was getting worse. He said it was like all over his body, and his wife also had it. And I'm like, you guys can't both, you know, be having the same system. You guys are individuals. How can you both be having the same symptoms? You know, it's got to be some, you know, they all the common things the doctors said, such as check your lotions and topical things like soaps and stuff? And have you changed your detergent that you wash your clothes with, or all those things like that, perfume or cologne? So they're doing all these things and nothing, you know, is working. Neither one of them, they don't take the same medicine. For Pete's sake, they don't even have the same doctor. And so I just said, you know, take a look at your water and some other environmental sources. And he was like, thanks. So unfortunately, groundwater, like I said, is our primary source of water for irrigation. And so it is susceptible to pollutants. And some of the common man-made pollutants are gasoline. We talked about that additive in gasoline, oil, road salt, and chemicals. Like I know I lived for years in the Midwest. I lived in both suburbs of the Madison, Wisconsin, outside of Milwaukee. I've also lived in the greater Chicago area, Atlanta, different suburbs of Atlanta. So definitely salt was a contaminant that we found. Let's see here. Okay, so each state, though, your water is regulated by the public water system. So that's who you would actually, that's who's the governing or regulating body at the state level. It's the public water systems or public water works, and they're supposed to follow the guidelines of the EPA. But I will include some links. I know for a fact in North Carolina, there was this whole like PDF brochure about how it's important to have your well water tested regularly. So I'm just going to pass this advice on to everybody. I would imagine, I mean, I'm sure it's not just for North Carolina. You should have, if you have a well, if you have well water, you should have your water tested. And, you know, Google and check into some resources. There's probably something through your local health department. That's kind of what happened to him. With him, there was a local governing body through the health department that helped with if you suspected or if your well water hadn't been tested. I mean, think about all the people that our government bodies serve. They're not going to necessarily stay on top of things. I mean, you get those chintzy little water reports every year, but let's be honest, you guys, it looks like a brochure for like a bad vacation or like, I don't know, some article that you don't really care about. How many of us actually read those damn water reports? Let's be honest. So you can actually, you know, contact your local health department or just Google, water regulation, and it'll give you like some information about the governing bodies. But I know his, it was specifically a division through the public health and safety division, and it was like ran through one of their health departments, and you could call them and they would come out and they would test the water and tell you what, and then they would, you know, make the necessary provisions. And I think it was actually partially, he told me that he didn't own his home, they rented the home, and it was part, you know, it is one of the responsibilities of the homeowner. So for those that rent or for those that own a home, you know, make sure that you're getting your well water tested. I can't say next week, right? Because I'm in this week. This Sunday, I will actually be doing the topic seasonal affective disorder. And this is a disorder that affects many people. They have changes in their mood and suffer from depression because of the changes in the season, you know, the time of year when it's not as much sunlight and things like that. Also, it's common in places where they don't get a lot of sunlight. For example, like in Alaska and in Washington, sometimes people suffer from seasonal affective disorder. I remember the first time I learned about that, I was in high school and I was actually taking a sociology course. And so also be sure to tune in tomorrow night. The wonderful ladies, Renita Graves and Ayana Muhammad, they have a wonderful podcast called Against All Odds, and it is about all things women. I have really enjoyed their topics. I don't always get a chance to tune in the night of, but all of our programming is available on demand, so you can listen to it at your leisure at any time, just like you binge watch. You can kind of like binge listen, so you can get on demand versions of our show. So you can listen to it on your way to work. You can listen to it when you're working out. You can do it if you're one of those people that like to think, or if you're in the bathroom, whatever. You can listen to our podcast on demand at any time, 24 hours a day. That's available on our site, and our radio site, of course, is www.yizer.com. radio. It's actually victimstoppersradio.com or geyserradio.com. Both sites will get you to where you need to go. Also, you can find my blog and others' blogs by joining the social network www.victimstoppers.us. Okay. There you will be able to join a community. I can't stress this enough. You can do things but talk to other intellectual or like-minded individuals. You can start a community awareness watch. You can, with Digital Guard, you can actually set up a virtual community watch, which is awesome. We all need to look out for each other. You can learn more about your host. We post some great things on there on in addition to our blog. Also, another forum is www.yizor.com. And that's another great forum where there may be things like community awareness things and some other stuff. There's some stuff about savings. Sometimes there's recipes and some other stuff on there. So I always say that it's basically social networks with a purpose. You know, they actually have a purpose behind them, so it's purposeful. Again, my blog, you'll find that at www.victimstoppers.us. We have a YouTube channel, if you didn't know. That's at www.digitalguardtv.com. So you can see some great things there. With the ladies for Against All Odds, I'm trying to think because we have some extra time. I talk so fast, right? They had a great topic on I'm paraphrasing this, ladies, okay, so don't hold me to this. It's been two parts so far, and I think they're doing their segment now, like in a series where they're focusing on things. So they're really digging into the topics, which is awesome, right? It was about like childhood issues and how it affects your relationships. I was like, wow, that shit is deep, right? And then there was one about that I really enjoyed about something about the one that got away and some other stuff. And I was thinking to myself, I don't think there's one like that. I mean, I think I've had some people where it was like maybe like one or two people that were special. You know, sometimes you may meet somebody, you know, there's that saying that some people come into your life for people come into your life for a reason. And sometimes it's for a season. You know, I used to have a cute little poster that said something like that and about how people leave footprints on your heart and all that different stuff. So sometimes you can just have like this, I don't want to say cosmic, but it's like the spiritual or it's unseen, this connection to another person, you know? And, you know, and so there have been, you know, a few people, you know, I was thinking about, I don't have any regrets about anybody that, you know, my relationship has ended. I'm not on bad terms with anybody. You know, I go above and beyond to kind of have closure and treat people the way I want to be treated. So I feel like I'm on good terms with everybody. There's not anybody that's an ex that I can't talk to, except for my estranged husband. That's a whole different issue there. There's just nothing we can do about that, but we'll all keep him in our prayers. But there's like some people that I'm just like, no, they didn't. They're not the one that got away, but they're one of those people, like that Erykah Badu song, I'll See You Next Lifetime. It's almost like in another time or in another universe, they might be the one. You know what I mean? They might be the person, but the circumstances or the situation at this time just doesn't present itself for it to be something with more permanence or long term. You know what I'm saying? So there's some people that have like really affected or I've had a deep connection with them like that. And, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, the ladies' topics a lot of times force me to kind of have like aha moments and to think about things like, okay, I get what they're saying and their perspective on it. And I hear the callers, their perspective on it. But then, you know, what does that mean to me? You know, a lot of times I analyze things and that's the way I think of what does this topic mean to me? How does this relate to my life? You know? So they're doing a great job. You know, I always try to give credit where credit is due and feedback. So please, you know, tune in and support the station. Again, their show comes on Thursday nights from 8 to 9 Eastern Standard Time. And it's wonderful. It's really relatable topics. And they're focused on issues with women, but hell, hello, people, women are amazing. So these topics relate to men too, you know, because hello, you love women, don't you? Some of you, or you know a woman, or you came from a woman, right? That one really stuck with me, because there's some people that I'm just like, wow, you know, I just really thought if it was a different place in time, you know, like they're the one, you know what I mean? It's not so much that they got away, but it's like they're the one, and they know it, you know, you just have that really close, you know, relationship and that connection with them. Like I said, you can't, it's not even that you've known them a long time. It's you almost feel like the connection is so deep. Sometimes it can feel like it's instant. It's like above your comprehension or above your understanding. It's like primitive, you know, it's like more than you can comprehend. It's like at a spiritual level. You know what I mean? It's just, it's deep. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's really crazy. Also, Dwayne Abernathy hosts the show Moving Forward, and that's on Monday nights. And he does a 2-hour segment from 8 to 10 Eastern Standard Time. Okay. All right. I want to thank you all for sharing this time with me. And I like to wrap up my show with some positivity. I'd like to wrap it up with an inspirational quote. And so I absolutely love this artist. May he rest in peace and in heaven. He is legend is an understatement. I mean, he just did things his way, and he just was a remarkable person, so humble and just beautiful. And he's given us the gift of so much through his music and his creativity, and through his legacy lives on through his children and now his grandchildren. I'm talking about none other than Bob Marley. I absolutely adore him. I love one of my passions that my daughter gets it from me. She's 8 years old, going on 22, I swear. I remember one of my earliest memories as a child was listening to records, and I would sing. In fact, I remember my mom used to like to go antiquing with her friends. Her friend Mary, if you're out there, I remember riding in Mary's van. It was so cool. I used to feel like I was on Scooby-Doo. She had this green van, and we used to ride around, and we'd be gone all effing day, and they'd be like antiquing. It was so boring, but it was like an adventure to me as a child, all these really cool things and stuff. So anyway, and oh my gosh, I got a case. I think I was about like 3 years old, and I got a record player. I'm dating myself, right? I had an album. It was a record player, and you could plug it in, and it had the little case, and it was so magical. It was blue, and it had the little, you know, case on it. And my mom would give me Disney albums, and the Disney albums would go with the movies. So I had like the Jungle Book, and you could listen to Walt Disney or another narrator tell you the story. And I would love that. I love the Jungle Book. Didn't realize it had racial connotations later. Oh my gosh, it was about his take on segregation. Oh my gosh, totally ruined the movie for me. But anyway, I had like the Jungle Book. Oh, my favorite was Mary Poppins. And I would do all of the parts, and then you would see the movie on television. And all, you know, I loved Mary Poppins. I remember I brought that in for show and tell once, and I always wanted to sing and perform and be on Broadway. I wanted to be a performer, you know. I was always ready to perform and prepare to shine. I always like did these dance routines and put on these shows, and I put on these big productions, and I wrote plays, and I wrote poetry and stories. So I was always like trying to do things. And I remember one of the first albums my mom gave me was like, it was a 45, and it was My Endless Love by Lionel Richie and Diana Ross. And it's so funny because I love Lionel Richie and I love Diana Ross, but I would sing all the songs that I put the performance on. And then I remember when I was a little girl and We Are the World came out, and I would sing all the parts. I sing all the parts to Michael Jackson, and my daughter is so like me. She like loves to sing and perform. She's so animated. Her little face just lights up. Like me, she wanted to be on Disney. You know, I wanted to be on the Disney Channel, to be a part of the Mickey Mouse Club. Oh my God, I thought I was going to die. But my mom, funny story, I was actually 3 and I was in California. And at the time we lived in La Mesa, California. And my aunt took my cousin in and for an audition to be like a baby, like an actor, you know, like a model, right? And they totally didn't choose my cousin. But they like wanted me to to my mom, she's so anime, she's so cute, you know? And then I look at all the scandals with all the shit that underlying pedophilia and all that weird shit that's going on in Hollywood. And I remember telling my mom, like, oh my gosh, you know, why didn't you tell me I mean, I think I knew at the time they wanted me because I was really putting it on. Like, we were like doing these pictures and I was like really going in and doing all my performances. I wanted to be like old Black Shirley Temple and shit, you know, so I was really putting it in, you know, twirling around and doing all my animations and stuff. And so he was like, oh my gosh, you know, we want your daughter and that kind of thing. And my mom was like, no, when we got in the car, a little weirdo, you know, I'm not letting my daughter do it. My aunt was like, why, you know, Lorraine, let her do it, you know. And I remember when my mom told me the story later, I had this big dramatic meltdown, like, oh my gosh, you ruined my life, you know, that could have been me, I could have been on the Cosby Show, or I could have been on A Different World, or I could have been the kid on Silver Spoons, or, you know, I was like, you know, but now, thank you, Mom, because that was not cool. But anyway, I'm ranting again. Let's read our quote for this week. The quote today is by legendary Bob Marley. It says, "The greatness of a man is not in how much wealth he acquires, but in his integrity and his ability to affect those around him positively." Let's read that again. "The greatness of a man is not in how much wealth he acquires, but in his integrity and his ability to affect those around him positively." And that's by the legendary Bob Marley. I am going to take our show out today with a beautiful song by the legendary, the living legend, Stevie Wonder. I love Stevie Wonder. And all of those people that have been sending positive thoughts and prayers to my mom, we really, really appreciate it. This is one of her many, one of many, because we love Stevie Wonder. We love music in my household. I don't know if a lot of you know, I come from a musical family. So I have family members that have written songs, and so we're a very musically inclined family. Like my son, he plays the piano, he plays the alto sax, he also taught himself how to play the guitar. So we're a very musical family. I like to sing. So we're very creative and we're very musically inclined. We love, in fact, my nephew, my cousin, shout out to my cousin. He just graduated and actually got an offer with Sony Music in Nashville, but he just finished his bachelor's degree. And so, I mean, we just really, really love music. So this song is dedicated to my mom. It is so appropriate for the times right now and for our nation. It's by Stevie Wonder, "Love's in Need of Love." Thank you all again for tuning in with me, and I will see you again on Sunday.
Good morning or evening, friend. Here's your friendly announcer. I have serious news to pass on to everybody. What I'm about to say could mean the world's disaster, could change your joy and laughter to find it, well, if we let it destroy everybody, we all must take precautionary measures. If love and peace you treasure, then you'll hear.
Having a camera system is not enough. We are told that surveillance cameras are effective crime-fighting tools because they deter and/or record evidence of criminal activity. Information is false. Deterrence only works on some people, not all. One only has to keep up with the news being reported from around the world, and we see day after day of overnight burglaries or smash and grabs of businesses when they're closed. And these businesses have cameras. Cameras are great to record crimes, and they give you a record after a crime is committed. Criminals don't care if they are caught on video. They only care if they get caught in the act of a crime. You may be asking, why use Digital Guard remote monitoring to protect your business or home? Why hire Digital Guard remote monitoring instead of hiring a security guard? What makes Digital Guard remote monitoring different from alarm monitoring companies? The answers to your questions are live surveillance monitoring. Digital Guard live surveillance monitoring has been used to improve or replace traditional security guard services for many businesses. Our solution is a proactive and more effective way to preventing the act of a crime at less than 75% of the cost of having security guards. Digital Guard Live surveillance monitoring eliminates all of those associated fees that come with hiring a security guard staff. Digital Guard Live surveillance monitoring solves the problem of businesses burglarized overnight when they're closed. Our command center views live real-time video from any installed camera on our network. Upon viewing an attempted security breach, we can either dispatch a security response unit or immediately contact law enforcement. Digital Guard remote monitoring will improve safety, reduce accidents, reduce shrinkage, increase bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give business owners a sense of peace. Criminals don't care if they are caught on video. They only care if they get caught in the act of a crime. Be proactive, not reactive, when it comes to protecting your business or home. To get started, contact us at 888-640-5777, option 2, or visit www.digitalguardlive.com.